dünyada iş başına bey. Namora di kai yaiba dia riyar. Namora de ne laira eva yujam.
Paramahansa Parabhadacharya holds the Tero Satashi Shimad. His divine grace Abhaya Chadanara Bhaktivinanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Shidhidas Thakur Kichai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidhwaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Kichai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopagopatha Shayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kichai. Vrindavanam Kichai Maturidam Kichai. Jagannatha Swami Kichai Yamunamai Kichai. Shimad Gilasi Devi Gijai Samvaita Bhakta Vrindi Gijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gijai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Pananda Swamini Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyabadi Paschacha Dejatarni. So, let's read the translation. To the Supreme Controller who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, who manifested himself in Gokula, who stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms and have then quickly jumped up and ran and retreated in fear of Mother Yashoda, was ultimately caught. To that Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick, and his Mother Yashoda bound his belly with ropes. He shivered in fright, and his pearl necklace shook. To the Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, who is bound by his devotee's love, I offer my humble obeisances. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drown the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayan and Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord, Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you were able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your feature of Paramatma. I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart. O Lord, the cheeks of your blackest lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curling hair, have become reddened like bimba fruit due to Mother Yashoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulences are of no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind. O unlimited Vishnu, O Master, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow and almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy upon me, uplift me, and protect me with your nectarian vision. O Lord Damodar, in your form as a baby, Mother Yashoda bound you to a grinding stone with a rope for tying cows. You then freed the sons of Kuvera, Manigriva, Nala Kuvera, were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave them a chance to become your devotees. Please bless me in the same way. Just taking one thing out. I have no desire for liberation to your effulgence. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Brahma, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound with a rope by Mother Yashoda. To this rope I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Radharani and to your unlimited pastimes. So, today is a very important day, which I actually forgot. And it's Gopastami, Srinivasacharya's disappearance, and Gadadhar Das Goswami's disappearance. But I guess I should speak about these occasions. So first about Gopastami. Of course, Gopastami is known as the day that when Krishna was first given charge of the cows, but there's a lot of things that happen on this particular day. So here's a story, and I'm reading. Once when Radharani was restricted to leave her house by her mother-in-law and was unable to go meet Krishna, Krishna felt intense separation from Srimati Radharani and was weeping and calling out her name. Seeing this, his friend Subal assured him of figuring a way to bring Radha to him. Saying this, he went to Radha's house where he confronted Jatila. Jatila asked him for the purpose. Oh, there's a famous story of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Okay, I'm going to tell the story. I actually know the story, so I don't even have to read it. I don't even have to read the story because I know the story already. So anyway, so what happened is that Subal was going to Srimati Radharani's house in Yavat, and he saw Jatila. Jatila was, of course, Srimati Radharani's mother-in-law. Not mother, but mother-in-law. And Jatila asked him, "What are you doing here? What are you looking for?" And he said, "I've lost one of my calves. Can I actually go in your compound and look for the calf?" So he went into the compound of Jatila, where Srimati Radharani was, and then he changed. Because Subal looks a lot like Radharani, I mean, same complexion, everything except for, you know, he's male. So he actually put on Radharani's clothes, and Radharani put on his clothes, and Radharani grabbed one of the calves, not grabbed, took one of the calves and held it to her chest so to hide the fact that she had breasts. And she walked out of the house and was able to associate with Krishna in the form of a coward boy. Of course, there's actually more of the story. So Krishna was lamenting that he could not associate with Srimati Radharani. So when Subal came to, or when Radharani came to Krishna in the form of Subal, she spoke in the voice of Subal to actually see how much Krishna loved her. And she expressed great sorrow, said that she had been unable to bring Srimati Radharani to see Krishna. Hearing this, Krishna, who had become hopeful, became even more distressed. And seeing this, Radharani smiled, and then it was obvious that was Radharani, and she embraced Krishna, and they had this wonderful relationship. So this is a beautiful pastime on this particular day. Shrimati Radharani dresses up as Subal, and Subal dresses up as her to trick Radharani's mother-in-law and sister-in-law, Jatila and Kutila. So that's what happened on this day. Very, very special day. Whatever they do in Vrindavan, it is actually not bona fide for the devotees to dress the deities up in accordance with certain pastimes. It is not bona fide. It is a concoction. So it is not practical. It is not proper to dress Srimati Radharani as Subal on this particular day, or dress Srimati Radharani as a coward boy on this particular day. Prabhupada did not want us using the deities to enact certain pastimes. In some temples, they tried doing that, and it was stopped. Even in some temples, they were dressing Radha and Krishna like Lord Ram and Sita Devi on the Ram's appearance day, Ram Navami. This is not proper. The deities are not meant to enact pastimes for us. They're not dolls. Try to remember that. Anyway, so that's a hint. So also, it is the disappearance day of Srinivas Acharya and Gadadhar Das Goswami. And let me get my notes on those 2 days, and I will speak about let's first speak about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Is it Gadadhar Das or Gadadhar Das Goswami? Okay, that's not Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Das Goswami, let me, give me a second, let me get that. I actually wasn't aware that it was all these days today. Alright. Let's do Srinivas Acharya first. Somehow or other, it slipped by me. Srinivas Acharya. Give me a second to get my notes on these things before we go to Chaitanya Charitamrita. All right. Oh, I know where I have them. So disappearance days of great personalities are very, very, very important, because they are actually entering into the spiritual abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, of course, Srinivas Acharya, whoops, I am definitely not prepared. Okay, his father's name was Gangadhara Bhattacharya, and he became known as Chaitanya Das. So when Srinivas Acharya's father came to Jagannath Puri and saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was taking sannyas, and Srinivas Acharya's father cried out Lord Chaitanya's name, Chaitanya, 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 and he was next to see. And later on, Srinivas Acharya's father went to visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And when he went to visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, then Lord Chaitanya predicted that he would have a son named Srinivas. And Srinivas Acharya is one of the three great personalities, Srinivas Acharya, Narottama Das Thakur, and Shyamananda, who are the second generation followers, primary followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's famous for a lot of different things, but one thing in particular is when he was along with Narottama Das Thakur and Shyamananda, bringing the Goswami literatures to Bengal from Vrindavan, the cart in which they had the literatures was attacked by the followers of a king named Birhamvir, as they were going through this province of Vanavishnupura, because the king, having astrologers, thought that this was a great treasure, and it was a great treasure, but not the type of treasure the king thought. And then when the king opened up the chest in which the books were, he saw them and he closed it immediately, understanding he had made a great offense. So then he one day the king was attending Bhagavatam class, and the person giving Bhagavatam class was not that expert, and then Srinivas Acharya came. And then the king understood this was the person who he had seen in his dreams, and this is the person who brought the books. Therefore, he should apologize, and eventually he took initiation. King Virhamvir took initiation from Srinivasacharya, and he turned the whole kingdom of Vanavishnupura into a Krishna-conscious kingdom, kicking out everybody who did not chant their rounds. And Srinivasacharya's main disciple was Ramchandra Kaviraj, and of course there's many stories about Srinivasacharya, Narottama Das Thakur, and others. So then So let's see. All right. Gadadhar Das. Let me just page through this. Sorry for the delay. This happens when you're not prepared. All right. Gadadhar Das is actually famous. Wow. Okay. Here's the story. He used to live in Navadweep. After the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, moved to Katwa. He's one of the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Gauranga Dashtubhika mentions he's an extension of Srimati Radharani's beauty and luster. It is written there, the gopi named Chandrakanti, who was an expansion of Sri Radha, appeared in Gaura Leela as Gadadhar Das, a close associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wow. And he was immersed in the mellows of Madhurya Ras. So Srila Prabhupada mentions Gadadhar Das in the Chaitanya Charitamrita commentary. About 8 or 10 miles from Calcutta on the banks of the Ganges is a village known as Adiyah Daha Grama. Srila Gadadhar Das was known as an inhabitant of this village after the, this is Prabhupada's words, after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Das came from Navadweep to Katwa. Thereafter, he came to Adiyah Daha Grama and resided there. He is said to be the luster of the body of Srimati Radharani, just as Gadadhar Pandit is an incarnation of Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sometimes explained to be Radha Bhava Dyuti Swa Su Volita, or characterized by the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. Gadadhar Das is this duty or luster. He counts amongst the associates of Sri Gaurahari and Nityananda Prabhu. Even though he was an associate of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was not among the coward boys, but was situated in the transcendental mellow of conjugal love. And he established a temple of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Katwa. And there's a famous story about Gadadhar Das. Let's see if that story is here. Okay, here's the story. He was actually so much immersed in Krishna Prema and so compassionate and fearless that he even got the Muslim Qazi to chant. Now here's the dialogue he had with the Qazi. Once he went to the Qazi's house at night when everybody was sleeping. He was thinking on getting the Qazi to chant no matter what. So he knocked on the door. I want to see the Qazi. I want to see the Qazi. And the Qazi got up and he was so angry. But when he saw Gadadhar Das, who was extremely attractive, his anger dissipated. And then Gadadhar Das embraced the Kazi with so much affection. This shows the devotee's affection and not wanting to designate people according to their religion, caste, creed, or anything like that. So the Kazi asked Gadadhar Das, "Why have you come here?" And Gadadhar Das said, "I want to have a talk with you." And the Kazi said, "What do you want to talk about?" And Gadadhar Das said, "Gaur-Nitai have appeared on this earth to deliver humankind with divine love by distributing the sweet love of the holy name of Hari. You should chant the sweet name of Hari." And the Kazi said, "Tomorrow I shall chant Hari." And the Gadadhar, being very ecstatic, said, "Why chant the holy name tomorrow? I come to deliver you with the holy name of Krishna." And because he had just chanted the holy name of Hari, "Now you have begun your life of auspiciousness by vibrating the holy name of Hari. From today on, all your sins and miseries will disappear by the grace of the holy name if you simply continue this chanting. That is why I have come to deliver you." Hearing this, the Kazi became a little very bewildered. At length, he smiled and said, "Tomorrow I will chant the holy name of Hari. Upon hearing the holy name of Hari issuing from the mouth of the Muslim Kazi again, Gadadhar Das at once became mad in the ecstasy of Krishna Prema. He said, 'Why tomorrow? You just now said again the name of Hari. All your sins will now melt away by the supremely powerful holy name of Hari.'" Then the Kazi took shelter at the holy feet of Gadadhar Das. And it's described that Gadadhar Das was so powerful, so fearless, that he was able to free many, many Malechas, Yavanas, Yakshas, whatever, Rakshasas, from their entanglement in the material world and take them to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. So what we can learn from the story of Gadadhar Das is that we should be like that, understanding, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in his surrendering principles, that Krishna is always maintaining you, Krishna is always protecting you. Therefore, you should accept everything favorable for serving Krishna, reject everything unfavorable, and this is the hardest one for me, being meek and humble, and having no separate interest than the interest of the Lord. So these are the six surrendering principles, but this boldness, just like Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, manifested this boldness, abhaya. And we have this nice verse, abhaya means freedom from fear. We have this nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita, abhaya sattva sham shudhi jnana yoga vyavastitahi. And Prabhupada said these are the qualities of a sannyasi. Someone who's free from fear, understanding the transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness, and abhaya sattva samshuddhi, always being established in shuddha sattva. So this is the quality, or these are the qualities of a sannyasi, or someone who is a bona fide surrendered servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, so today is the disappearance day of Gadadhar Das Goswami. It is the disappearance day of Srinivas Acharya, and it is Gopastami, as I previously mentioned. And now we will go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. After that brief interlude, also make an announcement. Tomorrow, most likely, we will not have class because I will be on an airplane or traveling to Mexico. We're having a Rath Yatra ceremony in Guadalajara, Mexico. So that's tomorrow. I'm not sure what's going to happen on Saturday or Sunday here, which is Sunday, Monday in your time, but, you know, I will text the devotees if I'm going to go online on the WhatsApp group chat. It's the disappearance day of Dhananjaya Pandit? Oh, you are right. Hold on a second. I am so offensive. I didn't even notice that. Oh my God. Okay. So, we'll speak a little bit about Dhananjaya Pandit. Hold on, this is going to take a second to pull up information about him. I am so offensive that I forgot. I mean, there's a reason for that. I'm not going to tell you the reason why I forgot that. I actually have a good excuse. Okay. Dhananjaya Pandit. Dhananjaya Pandit. Dhananjaya Pandit. Okay, it's not much. Dhananjaya Pandit was dear to Lord Nityananda. Dhananjaya Pandit's birthplace was in Shitalagrama in the Bardhaman district in Katwa, and Prabhupada describes it's situated near the Mangalkota police station, the post office of Katwa. Prabhupada says, on the narrow railway from Burdwan to Katwa is a railway station about 9 miles from Katwa, known as Kaichara. One has to go a mile northeast of the station to reach Sitala. The temple was a thatched house with walls made of mud. Some time ago, this is Prabhupada's words, the zamindars of Bajaravanath Kavasi, the Muliks, constructed a big house for the purpose of a temple, but for the last 65 years, the temple has been broken down and abandoned. The foundation of the old temple is still visible. There's a Tulsi pillar near the temple, and every year during the month of January, the disappearance day of Dhananjaya Pandit is observed. This is the appearance, or what was it? It says Dhananjaya Pandit says every year during the month of January. I'm just too far away. Anyway, whatever. It is said that for some time, Dhananjaya Pandit, that's what Prabhupada says during the month of January. Maybe according to the way the year changes, according to the moon cycle, it is the month of January generally, but I don't think it would be that much difference. Pandit Dhananjaya was in a Sankirtan party under the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he went to Vrindavan. Before going to Vrindavan, he lived for some years in a village called Shangcha Da Panchada, which is 6 miles south of the Memari railway station. Sometimes this village is known as the place of Dhananjaya. After some time, he left the responsibility for worship with a disciple and went back to Vrindavan. After returning from Vrindavan to Sitalagrama, he established a deity of Gaurasundara and a temple. The descendants of Dhananjaya Pandit still look after the temple worship. Okay. Dhananjaya Pandit was in Navadvipa when Lord Chaitanya performed his kirtan pastimes. After that, he returned to Bengal from Vrindavan. He established a deity in a village called Jalandi Gram, and the deities in that temple are called Sri Gopinath, Sri Gornatai, and the Shalagram Shilit, Sri Damodar. Damodar Pandit had no direct descendants. He had a brother, and his brother had a son named his brother's name was Sri Sanjaya, and his son's name was Sri Ramakanai Thakur. And there's some... Sri Dhananjaya Pandit had a disciple named Jiva Krishna, who established a deity of Shyamashundar, which is presently maintained in the house of a devotee named Gopal Chaudhary. Sri Dhananjaya Pandit's Samadhi Mandir, a memorial resting place, may be found in Shitalagrama. Dhananjaya Pandit passed away and entered into the eternal pastimes of the Lord on the eighth day of the full moon of the month of Kartik. That's what it says. It's interesting, there's contradictory information in the purport. It says January, but now it says eighth day and the full moon of the month of Kartik. So that's today. Anyway, so he did pass away on this particular day of the month of Kartik. Okay, so let's go on with our talks on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And as I mentioned before, tomorrow we're going to Mexico. I don't think I'll be able to give a class, but I'll keep everybody informed on the WhatsApp group. So happy Gopastami. It's the day that Krishna took care of the cows and Radharani dressed up as Subal to meet with Krishna, and Subal dressed up as Radharani. So, but don't play around with the deities like that. Prabhupada didn't like that. Prabhupada did not want us using the deities to enact different pastimes. And some temples, they even like put extra arms on the deities so it looked like Radharani was doing something else. Or they even put a boat so it looked like Radha and Krishna were in a boat on the altar. And in one temple, they even dressed Radha and Krishna up as Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus during Christmas time. I think that is highly unusual. I'm not going to say anyone's committing offenses, but it's highly unusual. So we don't want to play with the deities. The deities should be dressed in the mood of on reverence every day. Unless, of course, you are a pure devotee of the Lord on the platform of Raganuga, then whatever. You could be like Sanatan Goswami, who took Madan Mohan, hung him from a tree, and Madan Mohan complained, "You're not giving me enough, just some dried bread balls." And he said to Madan Mohan, "Well, you have to be satisfied because I don't have time to go out and get any more of you. If you want salt, you have to get it yourself." If you're on the level of Sanatan Goswami, you can do things because you're directly in touch in every way sense with Krishna. But if you're like the rest of us, observe the vidhi, the rules and regulations, and don't use the deities to depict pastimes. It's not proper. I mean, you can have a backdrop or something that depicts certain pastimes, if you like, on the deities, but don't dress the deities. In other words, don't dress Radharani like a coward boy on this particular day. It's not appropriate, even though it may be done in some temples. It's not something the Prabhupada would approve. Okay. So now we will go on to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramikam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. And wait a second, there we go. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, we're on text 120. Actually, it should be 127, not 128. Of the 18th chapter of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So let us continue. Because we only have a few minutes, actually, just 10 minutes before we ask for questions. Se sabha loke prabhu prasada karila Krishna preme matat loka nijagare gela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then bestowed his causeless mercy upon all the people there, and everyone became ecstatic with love of God. Finally, they returned to their homes. E matakata dina akrure rahila Krishna nama prema diya loka nishtarila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for some days in Akrura Tirtha. He delivered everyone there simply by distributing the holy name of Krishna and ecstatic love for the Lord. Madhava Purira Shisha Seta Brahmana Matura Ragari Gare Karana Nimantrana. The Brahmana disciple of Madhavendra Puri went from house to house to Mathura and inspired other Brahmanas to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their homes. Mathura rayata gloka Brahmana sajana Bhattacharya stanayasi kari nimantrana. Thus all the respectable people of Mathura, headed by the Brahmanas, came to Balabhacha Bhattacharya and extended invitations to the Lord. Ekadina dasa bisha aise nimantrana Bhattacharya ikera mantra karena grahana. And one day 10 or 20 invitations were received, but Balabhadra Bhattacharya would accept only one of them, obviously. Avasarana payaloka nimantrana dite sevi pre sadiloka Nimantranate. Since not everyone got an opportunity to offer invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, those who did not request the Sanoja Brahman to ask the Lord, those who did not requested, sorry, the Sanoja Brahmana to ask the Lord to accept their invitations. Kanya Kubja Dakshina Tyara Vaidika Brahmana Dainya Kari Kari Mahaprabhura Nimantrana. The Brahmanas from different places, such as Kanya Kubja in South India, who are all strict followers of the Vedic religion, offered invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great humility. Prata kalaya kriyasi randana kriya prabhuri vikshadena shalagrami samarpya. In the morning they would come to Akrura Tirtha and cook food. After offering it to the Shalagram Shila, they offered it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada speaks, there are Brahmanas known as the Panchagauda Brahmanas, who come from five places in northern India, and there are Brahmanas known as Pancha Dakshinatya Brahmanas, who come from five places in southern India. In northern India, the places are Kanya Kubja, Sarasvata Gauda, Maithila, and Utkala. In southern India, the places are Andhra, Karnataka, Gujarat, Dravida, and Maharashtra. The Brahmanas from these places are considered to be very strict followers of Vedic principles, and they are accepted as pure Brahmanas. They strictly observe Vedic principles and are not polluted by tantric misdeeds. All these Brahmanas respectfully invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch. So let me explain what tantric misdeeds means. The word tantra is actually innocent, although in this particular case it's used in a pejorative sense. Tantra simply means something that connects. So there's Vaishnava tantras, like the Narada Pancharatra, which are injunctions that help us perform devotional service. These are called right-handed tantras, and there's left-handed tantras. And generally, when we talk about tantrics, we're talking about left-handed tantras, or tantrics. That's people who perform left-handed tantras. And sometimes it's described that these left-handed tantrics have five regulated principles. Let's see if I can remember them. The five M's. First of all, madan. Intoxication, they have to take intoxication. Mudra, they have to make obscene gestures. Matsya, they have to eat fish. Maitunya, they have to have illicit sex. It's actually quite the opposite of what we do. Mamsa was the fifth one. They actually have to eat meat of all types. So these are the five M's, Panchamakara or something like that, that the left-handed tantrics follow. So the word tantra is just a neutral word. It depends on the context in which one finds it. And so in India, you have these left-handed tantrics who actually acquire demoniac powers by these different procedures. One of my friends one time was on a motorcycle tour of South India, and he came across a tantric guru, and he didn't know it was a tantric guru. And the tantric guru asked him to collect some ingredients for a sacrifice. And he thought, well, yeah, let's just do this service for the tantric guru. And so he went to collect these ingredients for the sacrifice of the tantric guru. And he thought, yeah, it's nice, I can do some service for a sadhu. And so as he was collecting the ingredients, he happened to run into someone at the railway station, the station master in the railway station, who asked him what he was doing. And he explained, you know, I got this tantric guru I'm doing this collection for. And he said, oh, the station master said, uh-oh, the last person who did this collection for the tantric guru was part of the sacrifice. He was sacrificed. So you better get the H-E-double-L out of town. So this guy jumped on his motorcycle and sped out of town as fast as his Harley Davidson or whatever type of motorcycle would take him. So these are the type of tantric people, and sometimes the tantric people, they eat out of the skull of a human being, and they do all sorts of abominable practices just to get powers and control people. And sometimes they get these powers where they can control people's minds. So you've got to be very careful when you go. And sometimes they put some curse or something like that into food. Like if you're eating some food, you're buying it from the market, like buying it sweet balls. Sweet balls looks real nice. It may have a tantric curse to it. And in Bengal, this is very common too. There's many, 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 many tantras, tantric people in Bengal. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was dealing Vibhikashena, one particular tantric, he wasn't a guru, one particular tantric guy, he declared himself to be God. And utilizing his tantric powers, he impressed everybody, controlled people's minds. And he was having them, in each village, people would give their wives or daughters for him to enjoy. He said he was God, and then he enlisted to his friends to be Brahma and Shiva, you know, the three, Lord Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. And finally, everyone was scared of him. He could make fire come from his head. Finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself had to go to arrest the guy. And it took so many people to imprison him. So many Muslims had to be there. So many other people had to be there to imprison him. And even Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family got sick during the trial. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself got sick the day before the judgment because of this guy's tantric powers. And then after Bhaktivinoda Thakur passed judgment on the person, the person's hair was cut off by one of the British people. And his tantric lost all of his power. He fell down. Later on, he died in jail. So there are tantrics there. Even to this day, there are tantrics. You know, in America, we call these tantrics black magicians. Black magicians. So one has to be very careful of them. When you go to India, you got to be very careful because sometimes they have these powers and they can do things to you and they can control your mind. Of course, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're going to be protected, but you got to be really careful about getting cheated in India by these tantrics. So anyway, so on that happy note, we went to text 134. So on that happy note, we will take questions, because it's time to take questions. I'm sure some of you have questions about tantrics, how to become a tantric so you can control other people. I'm sure that's what you would all want. Let me, give me a second. I want to make sure you can all be unmuted. All right. Okay. So you're allowed to unmute yourselves now. So speak now or forever hold your peace, or raise your hand now or forever hold your peace.
Hare Krishna Gurudev. Shama Priya here.
Shama Priya, Hare Krishna, good to see you.
Hare Krishna, good to see you too. I have a question. Yeah. About the tantric mantras, can prasad be, say that you said they put it in the sweet balls. Can it have effect if somebody puts it in prasad?
If it's actually prasad, no.
Oh, good. That's good.
But hey, but you have to make sure it's actually prasad. You have to make sure it was offered by someone with devotion. Something doesn't become prasad simply because you say the mantras. Something becomes prasad because Krishna says, patram pusham pulam toyam yome bhakta priyachati. It has to be offered with love and devotion to Krishna.
Okay.
I know many times in the Hindu temples, they'll say that something's prasad that wasn't offered to Krishna because they take the word prasad as being synonymous with food. But the word prasad is not synonymous with food. The word prasad is synonymous with mercy, not with food.
And there's another question on that one. Earlier on, when they were offering prasad to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they offered it to the Shila first. So I was just wondering, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can offer to Krishna and then give to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not offering twice, is it? I mean, that was
No, we worship Lord Chaitanya as God. So we offer to Lord Chaitanya directly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, they were following. They weren't aware that Lord Chaitanya was God, so they were following the proper procedure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were following the proper procedure. As if you're not aware, like if, let's say, if someone comes to my house and he's God, and if I wasn't aware of it, I should offer to my shilas first. It hasn't happened yet, as far as I know.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Gurudev.
So the question is, how can a tantric have such an influence on a great pure devotee as Bhaktivinoda Thakur? The point is that Krishna allowed that to happen to test and to glorify Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and test his devotion. So sometimes Krishna allows something to happen. Like you see, sometimes a devotee may get attacked, or a devotee may get, all right, let's put it more into modern terms. A devotee sometimes, practically all the time now, gets attacked on the internet. The more Krishna conscious you are, the more attacks you get on, I'm going to make this up, so don't get mad with me, on, I don't know if I should say it, on, let's talk about another part of the body other than the face and put a book after it. Okay? I think you probably know what I'm talking about. Another part, the rear end book. Okay. Sometimes you may get attacked on the rear end book on the internet. I'm not saying Facebook. I'm talking about the rear end book. So sometimes you get attacked by, I'm not going to use the word ASS. So sometimes you get attacked, or not sometimes, I experience I get attacked with all so many false accusations or whatever, practically every day on Facebook or other medium. And how can Krishna allow it? Of course, I'm not a great devotee, so probably I deserve it. But anyway, the way I see it is that it's actually Krishna helping me become humble, helping me become compassionate. Like, Haridas Thakur was compassionate to the people who were beating him. Jesus Christ was compassionate to the people who were pinning him on the cross. You know, so you'll see this is one of the signs of a Vaishnava, is compassion. So if we start to hate someone because they verbally attack us, that is detrimental to our devotional service. So that's how one should see it. So Krishna arranges this. In the case of the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was to glorify him, to glorify his determination. He didn't die, neither did his family die. So a devotee is put into these adverse situations to glorify them, just like Prabhupada was gored by a bull. He had no karma. Why was he gored by a bull? Why did Krishna allow that to happen? Well, to glorify Prabhupada's determination. So that's what Prabhupada actually said, that, you know, without opposition, where's the chance for glorious victory? So one should see like that. Here's another. Hare Krishna, Gurudev. But past life regression, should practicing devotees take or do past life regression and give some pain relief for knowing why they have pains in the body? I don't recommend it. The pains in the body, even if you know why you have pains in the body, it's not really going to help you. It's good to deal with the present situation, and by Chaito Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadvati Nirvapanam, you can cleanse these past impressions. I find that that works. Once you become aware of their present situation, I'm not going to call it metta, I'm saying behind book. All right. So anyway, I don't recommend. If you're having some pain, go see a doctor. Go see a doctor or whatever. Doctors can help you with it. Someone who is a bona fide doctor, or find some means. Sometimes hypnotherapy hacks helps with it. I'm not going to tell you what to do with pain. That's not my business. My business is to tell you how to overcome the total pain of being in the material world, which is being Krishna conscious. Okay, so let's see. Oh, let's see. I think someone has his hand risen. Hand up.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. Maharaj, so I have a question. My question is that, like Haridas Thakur, he was being beaten up all those 22 and so many marketplaces. So,
yeah.
So when we see, like, I'm talking about myself. So when I see that incidents, I know this incident. So my question is, I'm at material platform. I'm not very advanced devotee. So Haridas Thakur is pure devotee. So I see that, I feel bad that he's beaten up very much in painful situation. But did Haridas Thakur feel that pain? How does he see?
No, he didn't experience the pain. That's described. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually taking the pain on his own back.
Okay, so how about when Prabhupada's Leela Mrita described here, he also suffered heart attack. So many things. When we read about, I consider myself that, yes, I understand what heart attack and all this. I feel bad and not so good by knowing this. So how about then, in the same line, how Prabhupada felt?
Well, certainly there was pain. That's actually a good question. But his dedication and love was so much that the pain was not consequential, did not influence his consciousness. It's just like when one undergoes austerity out of love, even in the material world, you're aware of that austerity. At the same time, you're transcending it because of that feeling of love. So it's the proof of the love. Yes, certainly Prabhupada did experience pain. I'm not saying that he didn't experience pain. But because of his love for his spiritual master and for the order of his spiritual master, that love transcended the pain, and the pain did not become the central point in Prabhupada's consciousness like it would be in our consciousness. Generally, our experience is that when we have some pain, it becomes the central focus and we can't think of anything else when we have pain. So we shouldn't project our own consciousness upon the consciousness of a pure devotee, because the consciousness of the pure devotee is absorbed in the pleasing of Krishna and his spiritual master.
Is the body of a pure devotee, when they are here, come to preach like Prabhupada, is it a material body or not material?
Well, body? Let's not use the word material. It's a physical body, but it's not material in the sense that it's not covered by the three modes of material nature. Just like anything used by a pure devotee, such as a pure devotee's shoes, a pure devotee's paraphernalia, sitting place, everything like that, is considered spiritual. But it's not eternal in the same sense that eternal. There's a difference. So I don't want to use the word material. Let's use the word physical in relationship to Srila Prabhupada's body. Yes, Srila Prabhupada had a physical body. But it's not material in any sense, because the difference between material and spiritual is that something that is fully used in Krishna's service is spiritual, and something that is used in Maya's service is material.
Similarly, Haridas Thakur's body also was physical body. That's what it is.
I would assume so. Yes. Okay. But when the Lord comes down, he doesn't take a physical body.
Yeah, I'm talking about pure devotees.
When pure devotees come down, they take physical bodies. It's not their eternal body. Now there may be exceptions to that. But they take spiritual, physical bodies. Like Krishna even states in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's actual purport, that Arjuna has changed the body from when he appeared, when Krishna first spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god Vivaswan. Arjuna was there at the same time, and Arjuna It seems like every day at this time someone cuts me off from the internet. Must be Jagadguru who just cuts me off when it's time for me to end. So at least like, you know, so the internet goes off for a second and then I have to go back on. Okay, so it's time to end. I'm sorry I didn't have enough time to answer everyone's questions, but
thank
I'm leaving
Maharaj.
Tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Please, you all bless me with a safe trip. All glories to His divine grace.
Safe, good
Shula
trip.
Prabhupada. Thank you.
Have a safe trip.
Shula Prabhupada. Shula Prabhupada ki jai. Hopefully, this computer works so I can end the class.